On this episode of The Playbook, I have Ronnie Singh, better known as Ronnie 2K, the face of 2K, and Ronnie's going to answer a question I didn't think anybody had the nerve to ask. Who is Michael Jordan, and why is he relevant? That's right. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have Ronnie Singh, better known as Ronnie 2K. He is the face of NBA 2K and 2K in general.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to The Playbook.
Appreciate you.
Super excited to have you on because our backgrounds seem to parallel one another in that we had kind of a keep your option open philosophy. I want to work in sports, but I think my parents was doctor, lawyer, or failure.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your background from UCSD into Columbia Law School. Seemed like you might have had some family pressures of doing things differently.
100%. I mean, I think it's any brown child in general. I was the first generation, first person to go to college in the States. And, post-grad was it, right? Whether it was doctor, engineer,
et cetera.
I was going to college as a computer science major. So it made sense, right? And then I went to law school for 9 whole weeks to do post-grad stuff to practice to be a lawyer, which was a little controversial, but then it became extremely controversial later.
I bet. And how did you deal with the pressures, and I'm sure it continued on throughout your career, with disappointing or what you perceived as disappointing your parents' expectation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's just a general concern of mine. You know, my parents and I are very, very close, and, I generally want to try to make them as happy as possible. A career is part of that. My romantic life is another part of it. Everybody wants to make their family happy, especially my parents who worked so hard to provide, first generation, like I said. But, you know, when I first moved to the States, you know, my family had a hard time in terms of trying to make their way in a new country. And so I've seen both sides, obviously, but it was cool that they get it now, and you know we're in a better place.
Cool.
My dog is here now.
So the conversations, though, I think are important because I think most entrepreneurs have the same difficulty, because whether you went to law school or not, or become an entrepreneur, our parents have expectations, and mine was a single mom. My number one objective was to really be happy, but secondarily.
Sorry, I'm really sorry.
That's all right, don't worry.
Okay. That
is the wrong toy.
It's going away.
So yeah, the conversation is what interests me, because I think entrepreneurs in general have to have this conversation, because no parent, I think, raises their kid, especially kids like us.
Yeah.
Oh, my kid should be an entrepreneur. Unless the parent somehow was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And even then, a lot of entrepreneurs are like, I don't want him to go through the hardship, send him to law school. For me, the conversation was simply, I'd ask my mom, what do you want for me? Right? And when she told me, I want you to be happy and healthy, I was able to tell her, look, I'm not going to be a real lawyer. I actually went to law school, took $100,000 a loan, graduated, and went into the internet. So I didn't have a long conversation about how I was ruining my life.
Especially, I mean, with the internet being the great unknown.
It was a fad. She literally thought it was a fad. Yeah. That's the word she used.
Yeah.
And I had to take that chance. Was there a certain conversation where you kind of had alignment with your parents?
Yeah, I dropped out of law school.
Yeah, great law school. Ivy League. I mean, kids don't get into that law school.
Yeah, and I've worked really hard to get there. You know, studied hard for my LSAT, worked really hard in college. Just generally, you know, there was a huge path there. I remember that first conversation I had with them. My first career wasn't 2K coming, meaning in sports. My first career in sports was working for a women's basketball team. And minor leagues of the minor leagues. I mean, it was the off-season league to the WNBA, the NWBL, just like nothing in the main scheme of things. But I had this itch, I had this passion for sports, and I needed to find out. And I think it's really important as a parent to advise your kids to take those risks in your 20s. Like, who cares? And the 20s don't really, really matter. You can't screw up in your 20s. You can definitely set a lot of foundation, but you can't really screw up in your 20s as long as, you know, you stay motivated and hungry and trying to do your best at whatever this odd job career passion is.
And you make a really fair point. Like, I tell people that you always should take risks, but in your 20s, there's less to mitigate. Yeah. Like, there's less risk to mitigate. In fact, when I graduated law school, that was the argument that I made. Like, hey, if this doesn't work, this internet thing, I still graduated top of my class from Tulane. I'm an oil and gas. I said, in compromise, I'll take the bar.
Yeah.
So if I suck at this, I'm ready to go practice at a law firm, and guess what? They'll still accept me because I'm literally going to work for a legal research company. So at least I can make the argument I really wanted to be an expert at Westlaw.
Were you the oldest?
I'm the oldest boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I mean, that's part of it too, right? Like, I was the oldest of three boys. I've always been expected to set an example. And part of that was professional. And when I made this very massive decision to abandon this top five law school and go work in this career that was beyond risky. But that was the conversation I had. I was like, look, I got to make my mistakes now if I'm always going to have this weighing on my brain. And I'm really miserable doing the law thing. I mean, it wasn't just like I dropped out of law school on a whim.
I get it. I was there, brother.
I went and worked for two law firms, Morrison & Foerster and Fish & Richards, both big firms. And man, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. Sure. And I just could not stop thinking about what I wanted to do as a kid, which was, if I couldn't be an athlete, I wanted to work in sports. Like, and that's why I was in law, by the way. I was trying to be a sports agent. But now I look at that career and I'm like, Thank goodness. That would have sucked too.
That would have sucked. Trust me.
Yeah.
After running Lee Steinberg, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And I try not to put that on the kids. Money is another issue, right? And I think that people don't understand, and I don't like the word sacrifice.
Yeah.
I like the word investment.
Yep.
Right? You make an investment in yourself. And as I look through your career before you became Ronnie 2K,
yes,
I see a lot of investment in yourself. And I think that we do ourselves a disservice when kids call it, well, you know, sacrifice, or they have no way of managing the expectation of what an investment in themselves mean because they're looking for six-figure jobs in sports right out of college.
Yeah.
And you're top of your class.
Yep.
You know, you don't get into Columbia that way.
Yep.
Those jobs weren't available to you or I in sports at six figures right out of law school.
Yeah.
How do you, or what recommendation would you give in perspective-wise of, you know, willingness of, people say they love sports, they're passionate, they're willing to do whatever it takes. What investment, you know, would you make or give advice for these kids that
That was really, kind of a two-part question.
Yeah.
So the first part of it is, I feel like you can,
you feel you too, make it.
I feel good about, I feel like you could make money at anything if you're super passionate about it and you find your niche and you find a different point of view, different messaging style that's just different. Yeah, but you also got to be unique. And the story that we built, you know, with me at 2K was, it was authentic because it was not a story. It's actually not a story. I was top 10 leaderboards in 2K5. I've played 2K my entire life since Dreamcast, and I just happen to be a super fan that holds the point of view of you know, somebody that is doing what they want to do just being the super NBA fan. So that's part one. Part two, what's the second part of your question?
The investment in yourself.
Investment in yourself, yes. So, look, every day, even now, I'm thinking about, like, how can I think about longer-term goals that... You just can't be short-sighted. If you want your money play now, or if you want your immediate gratification, you're probably that. I mean, I guess that's probably my biggest advice. Don't think about immediate gratification. Look at the long run. If you're really I've always thought about doing this for 20, 30 years, right? One day doesn't really impact me very much. 1 year doesn't even really impact me much, you know? Sophie! Man, that's distracting. I'm going to tell Rob to take her downstairs. So you got to look at it just as a career. And part of that investment is trying to let each of those beats kind of impact you over the course of a year. Like, have enough wins over the course of a long term that it adds up to something big. you know?
And I see your career, when I say they parallel, is that you really looked at the same strategy. No matter what we were doing, mm-hmm. we were working hard.
Yeah.
Right? It's still hard.
You have to work hard.
Working smart.
That's step one, yep.
Working smart. And then we both were working long. The other philosophy that I think we share, which is interesting, is that I believe all it takes, if you do work hard, if you work hard, smart, and long,
yeah.
is a touch of favor. And everybody, if they look at their career, you get more touches of favor
yeah.
when you work hard, smart, and long.
Yeah.
What was your touch of favor or kind of turning point that nobody would ever be able to plan
That's
for?
A great question. You got to set yourself up for those great opportunities. Those great opportunities come in every career and for everyone. But like you said, the more that you're working hard and working smart, you're going to put yourself in those positions. There were several over the course of my career. I think about how I always thought of the NBA as kind of a generally infant league, you know, like, and even now I still think of it that way. There's so much growth opportunity there that, you know, they have so many massive initiatives internationally. China's a huge market. I think about how I can be a part of that. How can we do this a little bit better internationally? This is all part of, again, kind of thinking about the long term and how all this works together.
Now, I own, you know, part of an esport team, Splice, and
yeah.
one of the early investors with Meta, and Marcus Colston, and now The Weeknd's involved, and yeah. all these people. And I've been in traditional sports a long time, right? Notable sports agent.
Yeah.
See, Lee Steinberg, maybe one of the most notable. Me and Warren Moon had created a marketing and media company for over a decade.
Yep.
I believe this, and I would love your take on it.
Yeah.
I believe that someday, for example, that NBA 2K... Mm-hmm. will be bigger than the NBA. If not, we're already getting there.
Yeah.
And people don't even know in the world, like, people involved in sports still, it shocks me when I'm interviewing them. I yeah. say, what do you think of esports? And they're like, what's that?
What is esports?
And yet more people watch the championships than maybe on TV.
I think step one is educating people about esports and the benefit of that. And obviously, again, we were talking about China and the growth opportunity there, that they get it, you know, like that. It's an amazing phenomenon over there. More generally though, like sports, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
Bigger than traditional 2K
League, yes. So, the NBA 2K League has been really great in the first 2 years. I think that the thing that the NBA does well that the 2K League needs to catch up on is the storytelling of these players. Why do I care about, you know, one player versus another one? And that's going to be some bridge that we, as marketers, are challenged to kind of try to figure out. And once we do that, I think that's like the biggest thing that's missing. Why has the NBA had such a huge growth in the last 10 years? There's a lot of reasons, but I think number one is you really care about LeBron. You really care about Steph. You know their stories. Social media has helped tremendously in that world. And I mean, even social media, you could argue, has helped me tremendously in telling that authentic story, you know? I think the NBA benefits from it the most because in the NFL, you're wearing a helmet. Baseball, you know, struggles with marketing their stars generally, but also they also wear a helmet. And they're, you know, they're not, but in basketball, it's five guys and they all are play equal prominence on the court. And, you know, stars really have an ability to tell their entire story. And now you care about the rest of their story. With LeBron, you care about activism. With James Harden, you care about fashion. With Steph, you care about, you know, movies and kids and all of his initiatives there. It's this comprehensive story, soup to nuts now, which I think is why the NBA has kind of the biggest growth opportunity of the three or four major sports.
And the aspect that you have already, within the game, been able to take 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we get in all these discussions with India, being able to play different sports, but moreover, the NFL in India,
yeah.
would they play individual? But who's just going to play center?
Yeah.
Like in basketball, you know, center is a great position.
Center's a great position.
In football, like if you were playing online, it seems pretty boring to me.
Well, so, which has been what's been great about the 2K League. You're not going to have five Kobe Bryants on the court. That's not going to work. It wouldn't work in the NBA. It's not going to work in our league. You got to find five guys that fit together, play their role, play these different positions, are good at them. So... Sorry, the dog is staring at
me. That's right.
So, you know, that's kind of a, wow, growth opportunity.
Yeah, it brings out a whole nother nuance, too, when you think about it. What I like is you can start expanding out to letting people understand what it's like to be an agent.
Yeah.
Letting them understand the general manager position. Yep. The whole life of it,
yep.
Which I think is really extraordinary. In fact, to teach my son sports, and I have the greatest names around me,
yeah.
The suggestions that I'll have when I talk to someone, they're like, oh, haven't played NBA 2K. Like, I can't explain. I don't know basketball as well as I know football,
yeah.
But I couldn't even explain football to my son when he was four. But the minute he started to play Madden, it was instant. It. Yeah, positions, names.
That's what Mark Cuban said about the NBA 2K and NBA 2K League. He's like, it's a better educational tool for kids than the league itself.
Absolutely.
Because, and we also are a great testament to historic players. I mean, I was talking about this just on the jump a few minutes ago. 95, 96, Michael Jordan is the best player in our game. He's a 99 rating. He's the only 99 rating. And kids these days, some kids ask, who is Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
And the relevance, I mean, we're sort of keeping Michael, I mean, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but we're giving Michael another marketing device by having his shoes in the game, having himself in the game, and he sees 2K as a way to get that, stay relevant in that demographic.
And we had touched on it briefly. What was to you the turning point? You know, everyone has a point where you get involved.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a great player,
yeah.
But something happened where all of a sudden you were in the business of 2K.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just the growth of social media in general was a big boon. And then content, you know, I was always I'm sure you've read my history, even before 2K, I was about storytelling. I did that whole gag with Jose Canseco and the juice boxes. And what I love is grassroots marketing, and that's what social media was before social media is what it is, right? So I felt like I was always connected in that way. So when social media started taking off, Twitter and Instagram, YouTube, these were all opportunities for me to enhance that storytelling. So there were several moments in the 2K career that really stood out. I mean, when we put Michael Jordan on the cover, brought back that history, got all the old fans to kind of re-engage, we had this 2K11 launch party. It's funny because we have our 2K20 launch party tomorrow. And to get, all of a sudden there were celebrities there. All of a sudden there was NBA players there. They all were excited
They're
to
calling
be
you for VIP
connected to the brand.
Entrance,
and I'm like, what is going on? And then we were like, oh, we should take this opportunity to get content with them. And so they handed me a microphone. I had a couple shots of tequila and stuck a microphone in Russell Westbrook's face, you know, and asked him about his feelings about 2K. And then I was like, it needs to be a one-on-one conversation. I should not be interviewing him here with a camera. We should both be on camera. And then, you know, from there, it grew as social media grew, as the NBA grew. I'm so blessed that the NBA has had this huge rise to prominence because I've been such a passionate fan of the game. It is hard work. Like you said, what I do probably more than anything outside of obviously my day job at 2K is try to stay topically relevant. When something's happening in the NBA, I want to be part of that conversation because I want 2K to be part of that conversation.
Right.
So that's always how my mind's thinking. How do I make whatever's happening in the basketball world about 2K now? In the last couple of years, I've started to think, how do I make what's happening in the pop culture, lifestyle world, music, fashion, etc., how do I make that about 2K too? So ultimately, we're going to grow up, we're going to start hitting a glass ceiling of people that own a console that are a basketball fan.
Yeah.
Generally, everybody knows 2K. Most of those people, 95% of those people, are probably buying our game. So what's our growth opportunity? International and lifestyle.
And 5G, right? Because 5G will take 2K to the phone for full processing, right? Because we won't need
technology.
We won't need the technology, international,
and lifestyle. And so that's why I've worked, you know, we've had such an effort to start working with Travis and, you know, like last year and this year. We just scanned yesterday. We revealed all of them, J Balvin and Offset and so on and so forth. There's a bunch of guys that love our game and are considered marketing devices for us to spread the good word.
That's awesome. Last question. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned authenticity a few times. I always say find your frequency. And a lot of people get confused. Like, what does that really mean? I think what it means is there's 4.2 billion people on the internet and that there's a niche for everyone. And I think you and I especially are living proof that, you know, I'm pretty much an average 50-year-old sports executive, right? You're kind of this normal 2K guy that, but there's an audience for us in the millions of people where even, you know, infrequently, but people, you know, beg us for autographs and our pictures and et cetera.
Sure.
Could you help me define what that means to you, this authenticity? So if somebody's out there going, hey, you got to be authentic, what does that really mean?
Yeah. I say it all the time, but I just happen to be the super fan of 2K that's just living out this dream job of working for this company he was such a big fan of. I mean, really, it was about natural fandom. And I don't think it's a story that you could recreate because 2K has been around. This is our 21st 2K, I believe. And I'm one of the few people that have played all 21 and played it at the level and been part of the fabric of that world, and understand the business and understand just what goes into the growth of basketball. So it's a very unique thing that has happened. And, you know, 2K has obviously really given me the flexibility to do that. I work with 400 amazing people in our office that are dedicated to putting out the best game every year. Well, one of the things I actually always answer, not to take this off topic, but it's everybody asks me, like, when is, like, what is 2K's kind of top? And every year I'm like, oh my God, how are we going to outdo this last one? Either from a marketing perspective or a development perspective. And every year we find a way to innovate. And that's because it's a labor of love for me and 400 brilliant other people that I work with at the Novato headquarters and worldwide, actually. So
that's amazing. I remember I played in this Fortune magazine golf tournament and was blessed to be around Gates, Jobs, Dell, guys like that. And I remember Gates going, how the heck did you end up in the sports world? Because, you know, I was the CEO of a smartphone.
Yeah.
And before that, in law school. And he's like, and then Jobs answers for me, which was incredible. He said, just remember, you can only connect the dots backwards. Yeah. When you say you can never be recreated. So don't follow what we've done to think that you're going to get somewhere. Follow passion, your
technology
dream.
Technology is going to change too. Like, what is the next platform for somebody's communication? Social media has been huge in the past 10 years, and I understood it, and I knew how to kind of work with it. There's going to be other platforms. I mean, even our game is a platform if you think about it. Like, these guys that put out music or put out fashion, they're now dropping their new stuff using our game. Our game is a platform.
So, yeah, it's a world.
So I believe that, like, anybody can kind of figure out what the next platform is, work really hard, become an expert on the nuances of it, and duplicate this in a completely different and better way.
That's awesome. Remember to work smart, hard, and long, and you can live out your dreams as well. This is Dave Meltzer with Ronnie Singh, better known as Ronnie 2K.
My man, thank you.
Great Instagram friend of mine. It's great to meet you in person. I always love that part.
Yes, sir.
Dave Meltzer, Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.